You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
We all know how important it is to keep your eye on the money, and not just your own. Stay on top of the latest financial and market news with Yahoo Finance, a podcast that releases new episodes almost every day. You'll hear a brief overview of the biggest news in the financial world, all in 3 minutes or less, right after markets close. Check out Yahoo Finance wherever you get your podcasts. That's Yahoo Finance wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Kick-Ass News. I'm Ben Mathis. Hi, folks. Ben here with a quick favor to ask. There are some great advertisers who support the show, and in order for them to continue doing that, I need your help. Please do me a favor and go to podsurvey.com/kick and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you a little better. Even if you've taken our show's podcast listener survey before, the current one is new and different, so I'd really love for you to take it again. Plus, once you've completed the survey, you can enter to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Again, that's podsurvey, podsurvey.com/kick. Thanks for your help, and now enjoy the podcast. Hi. I'm Ben Mathis, and welcome to Kick-Ass News. I like to blame my guest today as the reason why I'm not a black belt in karate, or perhaps in a little better shape today. See, when I was a little boy, I expressed a fleeting interest in martial arts, and my mom signed me up for Taekwondo lessons in the evening after school. The only problem was the class was on Tuesday nights, and for me, Tuesday nights meant one thing. Happy days, and the coolest guy on television, the Fonz. Needless to say, I gave up karate. Sure, a black belt can split a board with his bare hands, but Fonzie, he could start a car or turn on a jukebox with a slight nudge or the snap of his fingers. Now you tell me which is the more useful skill. In its 11 seasons on the air, Happy Days was the second longest-running sitcom in ABC's history and has since enjoyed decades of success as one of the most syndicated television shows of all time. Arthur Fonzarelli, the too-cool-for-school motorcycle-riding greaser played by Henry Winkler, was originally meant to be a minor character on Happy Days, but after his appearance in the first episode, TV audiences quickly demanded a lot more of Fonzie, leading ABC to make Henry Winkler the star of the show, and TV Guide to name the Fonz number 4 in its rankings of the 50 greatest TV characters of all time. After Happy Days ended, Henry Winkler took a break from acting to embark on a highly successful career as a producer, starting with the hit show MacGyver, which ran for 7 seasons on ABC. He produced 3 seasons of the Disney Channel's So Weird, 5 seasons of the popular paranormal docuseries Sightings, as well as other shows like Mr. Sunshine and Hollywood Squares. He also directed Billy Crystal in Memories of Me and Burt Reynolds in Cop and a Half. In the 1990s, Henry Winkler returned to acting, starring in the made-for-television film Absolute Strangers and co-starring with Katharine Hepburn in the holiday TV movie One Christmas. He also had a scene-stealing role in Scream and numerous parts alongside Adam Sandler in The Waterboy, Little Nicky, and You Don't Mess with Zohan. He's done numerous guest appearances on television and had popular recurring roles on USA's Royal Pains, Adult Swim's Children's Hospital, Arrested Development, and Parks and Recreation. He'll soon be returning to television, co-starring with Bill Hader and Stephen Root in the HBO comedy series Barry. But of all of his achievements, this Emmy and Golden Globe-winning actor, producer, and director says he's proudest of co-authoring a best-selling series of children's books about a dyslexic boy named Hank Zipser. The character was inspired by Henry Winkler's own childhood difficulties with dyslexia, which went undiagnosed until he was 31 years old. With his co-author, Lynn Oliver, Henry Winkler has written 17 books in the Hank Zipser World's Greatest Underachiever series for kids 8 to 12, 9 books in the Here's Hank series for readers 6 to 8, and a popular Hank Zipser television series in the UK, which led to Henry Winkler being appointed an honorary officer of the Order of the British Empire. The latest in the Hank Zipser books is called Here's Hank, Always Watch Out for Flying Potato Salad. Today, Henry Winkler will talk about his own childhood struggles with dyslexia and what he's doing to raise awareness and give kids the encouragement he never received. He shares how his reading disorder led to some creative auditioning when he tried out for Happy Days, his fondest memories of the show's creator, Gary Marshall, and why the Fonz's leather jacket that now hangs in the Smithsonian almost never was. He discusses his transition from actor to producer and now children's author, how he navigated the hurdles presented by his learning disorder in each of those careers, and he talks about the innovative new font he uses in the Here's Hank books that actually makes reading easier for dyslexics, plus why bad grades aren't the end of the world and why jumping the shark may not be a bad thing. Coming up with actor, director, producer, and author Henry Winkler in just a moment. My leather jacket is crumpled up in the bottom of a closet. My guest's leather jacket is on display in the Smithsonian. You, of course, know Emmy and Golden Globe winner Henry Winkler from his memorable role as the Fonz on Happy Days, as well as his appearances in films like The Waterboy, Lords of Flatbush, and Night Shift, and guest appearances on shows like Royal Pains, Children's Hospital, Parks and Recreation, and Arrested Development. He is a director and prolific producer whose credits have included MacGyver, Hollywood Squares, and Disney Channel's So Weird. But what you might not know is that Henry Winkler has had a lifelong struggle with dyslexia, and he's channeling that into a series of best-selling children's books to help kids with learning disabilities. The latest in the Hank Zipser series is called Here's Hank, Always Watch Out for Flying Potato Salad.
Very important.
Henry Winkler, thanks for sitting down with me.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
So am I. It's a lovely day here in California, and I'm very happy to talk about Here's Hank.
Yeah, and you have a whole house full of kids today. So
I do. Well, you know what? My daughter and her husband, Rob, have moved in to the house because they're working on their house. And their two sons, 1 and 5, have moved in, and it is joyful. It is never a dull moment.
Well, you seem to have an affinity for kids. And in 2003, you began this terrific series of children's books about a dyslexic boy named Hank Zipser.
Right. Or Henry Winkler, as the case may be.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask you. How much of Hank Zipser is based on the experiences of the young Henry Winkler?
The emotion of the book, the dilemma of the book, of what Hank runs up against, is exactly my life. And the humor is exaggerated. So my partner, Lynn, and I, we make each other laugh because we think that humor is the road into kids reading. And then the emotion comes very easily because I remember what it is to have failed at everything.
Yeah, and you've talked about the fact that you had pretty strict German parents
who didn't understand your struggle. Strict.
Yeah.
Don't forget that. Yeah. Microscopic short German parents.
And you said that they used to punish you for bad grades and even gave you the nickname Dummerhund in German.
That's true. Which means dumb dog.
Not great for a kid's self-esteem, I assume.
No. What I realized growing up was that, and I made a deal with myself that I would be a different parent, that my children would be able to express themselves, whatever is on their mind, whatever it was, they could say it as long as they didn't make me weep. And you grow up with a learning challenge, with any kind of challenge. It doesn't have to be just mental. Your self-esteem plummets. Your self-esteem drops like a rock to the bottom of the ocean. So then our job as parents, as teachers, as aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, friends of the family, is to make sure that that child who has a learning challenge meets their destiny.
Yeah, well, in those days, I have to assume that not a lot of people even knew what dyslexia was. I mean, that's
no,
when they
you know
lumped
what, though,
it in with
have,
ADD
let me jump
and
in here, because
right?
this makes me angry.
Yeah.
You don't have to know what dyslexia was. I don't care that they didn't know that I had a learning
really?
Challenge. I care that as adults, they're looking at a kid struggling and never asking, hey, let's try and figure out what's going on here, rather than you're just wrong and lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't care that they didn't know about it. There could have been compassion about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, those were the days when people would just lump in ADD and everything under this rubric of the kid's stupid.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I don't care. Let me just say that again.
But
don't care.
But it's an empathy thing, huh?
What the, that they knew exactly what the root of the problem was. You have to acknowledge that your child is having a hard time.
Yeah.
Once you acknowledge that, the kid, it feels terrific. You feel terrific. And then maybe you together you can find a solution.
Yeah.
You know, you ask any child that you meet, what are you great at? They will tell you. Every child knows what they're great at. I was just at a high school last week. I spoke to about 800 kids in this high school. And I went around and I asked them, I said, oh, anybody know? Just raise your hand. One kid said, I am great at sleeping. One kid said, I'm great at making friends. I'm great at art. I'm great at logarithms. I'm great at soccer. Joking, not joking, every child knows what they're great at.
Yeah. Since you bring that up, I wonder, people always say that there are certain benefits to certain disorders like ADD or autism, maybe that kids are more creative or better at math
right.
or see the world differently. Is there some kind of an upside to learning disorders?
Many.
Like dyslexia?
I'll tell you exactly what. To me, even it, no matter what challenge you have, it forces you to use the other parts of yourself that are working really well, and you hone those other parts down to a fine point.
Mm-hmm.
Your humor, your ability to listen, because my eyes don't work very well with my brain, because I can't read very well, my ears became acute, became exquisite in being able to hear information. You know, so yes, there are many, many wonderful things that are byproducts of having a challenge.
Was acting sort of an outlet for your frustrations with dyslexia? Or
no,
how did you gravitate toward it?
I dreamt of being an actor.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be an actor. But the fact of the matter is that I couldn't, because I did one play in the 8th grade and one play in the 11th grade. And I was not able to do what I dreamt of doing because my grades were so bad.
Okay.
I could never do extracurricular activities.
So you had to focus on studies the whole time.
I was supposed to focus on studies,
grade, huh?
But my brain doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So I took geometry for 4 years, same course. And here's the thing, that nobody has ever mentioned the word hypotenuse to me.
Me neither. And I wasn't good in math either.
Yeah.
Well, at what point were you finally diagnosed with dyslexia, or did you realize
Never diagnosed.
Okay.
Our oldest son, my stepson, Jed, was in the 3rd grade. He's now 45. And he was tested, and everything that they said about him was true about me.
Huh.
And then I realized, oh my goodness, at 31, I have a learning challenge.
And how did you deal with that? What
first thing
did
I
did? You learn how to adapt to
the
it?
The first or? Thing I was angry.
Yeah.
All the shame, all the yelling, all the grounding, all of the consequences were for nothing. because it wasn't like I was not trying. It was that I couldn't figure out the subject. Then I thought to myself, okay, now you've got this. And I learned to speed read myself in my own way. I read my first novel when I was 31.
Really?
You compensate.
Yeah.
You know? And then now, right this minute, I think, maybe if I wasn't dyslexic, I wouldn't be sitting here talking into this microphone with you.
Yeah, you never know.
No.
Yeah, and I got to say, that's something that I relate to, because I was not diagnosed with ADD, which is a close cousin of dyslexia, until I was an adult as well.
There
and
you
I
go.
Struggled in all throughout high school and through my young years.
And now
years
you
as well.
Are, what, is this your podcast?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Boom. Yeah, there you go. See, here's the thing. This is really important. You're not defined by school. You are not defined by the grades that you're getting. You're defined by who you are on the earth and the choices you make and your will to achieve. That's it.
Yeah.
You're not doing well in school. You got to try as hard as you can, because that's the law. But I promise you, when you get out of school, no one is going to ask to see what you did in English. What grade did you get in 10th grade?
Yeah.
Doesn't happen.
Bad grades aren't a death sentence.
Right. That's right.
Well, you know, you ended up actually going to Yale Drama School for your grad degree. Not too shabby for a kid with a learning disability and bad grades, huh?
How
did you manage that?
Because I wanted to be an actor, because I thought, ooh, I better prepare. I don't want to be a flash in the pan. I saw my career, I saw myself as a forest ranger. And in 1970, June 30th, I started by planting my career. I made $173 in summer stock in doing plays in on Long Island in New York. And I planted that little sapling. And now I've watched it grow over these, I don't know how long it's been since 1970, 50 years, 40
years. It's a giant
years.
Redwood now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I read that somewhere, I guess, when you auditioned for Yale Drama School, you were supposed to do a Shakespeare monologue and you forgot the lines and you just improvised the words.
I did. I made it up. I made up Shakespeare. And apparently they thought that it was good enough to offer me a job.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Offer me a position in at the school.
Yeah. Now, I wonder, does dyslexia make it harder to memorize lines?
It makes it harder to read the lines.
Really?
When we read out loud, I'm doing a brand new show. We start shooting on Monday. And we have readings for the network. And there's a word that my brain just shuts down. And I cannot decipher it. And I am reading along and I said, and then I went into the house and I grabbed for that whatever that word is. And then I kept reading it.
Huh.
And the rest of the cast is so lovely. They just told me what the word was. They all yelled out the word and I went on.
Well, I don't know if this is true, but somewhere I also read that even when you auditioned to be the Fonz on Happy Days, you supposedly improvised the whole audition and you didn't couldn't read the script.
No.
Right?
You know, I can't read and act at the same time. That's really difficult.
Oh,
so
okay.
I memorize as quickly as I can, and what I don't memorize, I make up. And I would do that for every commercial, every Broadway play, everything that I worked on.
Wow.
And it worked sometimes because I got the part.
Yeah, it served you pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, what did, I guess, Gary Marshall, the producers, say when you
weren't reading
lines?
So here's another lesson. I'll tell you about Gary in a minute, but here's the other lesson. The other lesson is there's more than one way to get to where you want to go.
Yeah.
There is not just one way to get there. And there is no perfection. Nobody is perfect.
Yeah.
So you just commit yourself and go with your soul and your sense of humor.
Yeah.
Gary Marshall wasn't convinced that I was going to be the Fonz, because I was, first of all, smaller than he had in mind.
Right, right. He
and,
had a totally different type in mind for the Fonz.
So another executive producer, Tom Miller and Eddie Milkus, took me to the makeup room at Paramount Studios. They plucked my unibrow. Took about 2 hours. They combed my hair into a ducktail. And they put me in a t-shirt and jeans. And I went back and auditioned for Gary. And he said, yeah, all right, I think I could work with this guy.
And we just lost Gary,
yes.
I guess, less than a year ago.
Less than a few months ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's sad because he was a spark on this earth. Mm-hmm. He really was. He was like, you know, if people are larger than life, that was him.
Yeah, a lot of people have a favorite Gary Marshall story. Well, do you?
I have a million, but we would be doing Happy Days. We would be doing the show, and I couldn't make a joke work. So we called Gary to the set. He was in his office across the street. He came to stage 19, the same sound stage where Lucy started her Lucille Ball
show.
Yeah,
over at Paramount.
Over at Paramount Studios.
RKO used
That's
to
right.
be there. Yeah.
That's right. So he came. I said, Gary, I can't make this joke work. He went, all right, wait a minute. Let me think about it. Okay, here, try this. And like 15 solutions fell off the top of his head. Now the problem was, which one do I pick? Because they're all great.
Yeah.
You know, he was something.
We're going to take a quick break, and then I'll be back to talk more with actor, producer, and author Henry Winkler when we come back in just a moment. Folks, whether you're starting an online business or trying to get your existing business online, GoDaddy wants to help. GoDaddy's mission is to radically shift the global economy toward life-fulfilling independent ventures, helping customers kick ass by giving them the tools, insights, and the people to transform their ideas and personal initiatives into success. With more than 62 million domain names under management, GoDaddy is the world's largest technology provider dedicated to small business and the largest domain registrar. They have award-winning 24/7 support and everything you need to build your online business. Whether you have a new idea or an established business, the key to success online starts with a great domain name, and GoDaddy is trusted by 13 million customers, more than any other registrar, with big savings over the other guys. And right now, my listeners can get 30% off new purchases on GoDaddy.com by using the code KICK30 at checkout. That's GoDaddy.com, code KICK30 for 30% off. Again, GoDaddy.com and offer code KICK30. And now, back to the podcast.
Well, what was the controversy with the network over Fonz's leather jacket?
They didn't want me to wear leather because they thought I would be associated with crime. So the Fonz started his life on Happy Days wearing a McGregor golf jacket.
That's cool.
And that was hard. And then Gary went to ABC and said, look, he's going to hurt himself if he rides a bike. He's got to wear leather. And they said, okay, we'll let you have a leather jacket only when he is in a scene with his motorcycle. Gary then called the writer's room at Paramount Studios and said, never write another scene without his bike again.
Which further complicates things because you didn't like riding on motorcycles.
Personally, you mean Henry?
Yeah.
No, I still don't.
Yeah.
I still don't. But, you know, as the Fonz, what I was so short that the first bike that I had was a Harley Davidson. Beautiful, beautiful Harley Davidson. But it was too big for me, and I couldn't even straddle it. So they got me a Triumph, which was the same exact Triumph that Steve McQueen used to jump the fence at the end in The Great Escape.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
I was so excited.
Yeah, and I think somewhere I read the first time you got on it, you crashed it into the sound van.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. It was inside. I was supposed to go like 3 feet. Just release the brake, they said, which I did. But I also turned the gas up, and I nearly killed the director of photography and smashed into the sound truck.
You know, I have to ask, what part of Milwaukee, Wisconsin did Fonz come from that he had that accent?
Oh, yes. Yes. He came from, there's a borough of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
The same borough as in New York City called Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Brooklyn, Milwaukee. Well, after Happy Days, you went into a very successful career as a producer and a director. And I think you've said that you've produced 9 straight years worth of television.
19.
If you put all those hours together.
Sightings, wow. 7 years of sightings, mm-hmm. 4 years of So Weird, mm-hmm. 2 years of Hollywood Squares, mm-hmm. 7 years of MacGyver.
Yeah.
How am I doing so far? Is that up
Not
there?
Not bad at all.
Yeah. And then there were some other things. Yeah. And then two TV movies.
Mm-hmm.
For the after school special mm-hmm. series and then some other stuff.
Yeah. And you had a big hit right out of the gate with MacGyver. How did that come about?
Unbelievable. I had a deal and ABC, part of my compensation were commitments to produce. At that time, they gave them to actors as part of the compensation package. Except most people didn't make it come to fruition.
Right. It's the typical vanity deal, they call
right.
it. In Hollywood.
I got yeah. great partners who were also really good producers mm-hmm. and made all this television. And we're now doing MacGyver again.
It's
a hit on CBS Friday nights.
Yeah, yeah. Now, who came up with the idea for this guy who could jerry-rig anything?
Tony Jonas was the head of our company uh-huh. at the time. And somebody came to him with a shortcut guy. That was the idea, a shortcut guy. When the police couldn't do it, when the army couldn't do it, when the fire department couldn't do it, you called MacGyver.
Mm-hmm.
And he was originally, he took care of anomalies around the world that were presented to the Smithsonian. Birds were dying in Malaysia. No one knew why he was sent there. That didn't really work. So we massaged it and all of a sudden out came MacGyver.
Uh-huh.
And then we did 7
yeah.
years.
Yeah. Now, have you found that dyslexia is more problematic for you as an actor or as a producer?
Producer, for sure.
Really?
Because money, I had no idea about business. Mm-hmm. So I needed the kindness of strangers for stuff. I did what I did. I could help reading scripts. I could help casting. I could help directors. You know, I could do all of that stuff. I could talk to the network. I was the liaison with the network. My partner, John Rich, was very good at directing, at telling story, at keeping the writers in check and stuff. We also had the deputy chief of police of L.A., Steve Downing, who eventually ran the show for 7 years.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, before we talk a little more about the book, I do want to just on a personal note say that I love the first film that you directed, Memories of Me.
Thank you.
With the late Alan King and Billy Crystal.
Both, they were sensational. They played son and father.
Right.
The first day of shooting of Memories of Me was 1988, and the stock market crashed. And I could not get Alan King's attention because a lot of his savings apparently were in the stock market.
Oh, boy. And he was probably still of the generation that survived the Depression, I imagine.
Absolutely. So
that's a touchy thing.
He was a worried fellow.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, did he turn in a great performance.
Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah, I'm very proud of that movie.
Yeah. It was about a strained relationship between a father and son. Was
right.
that anything that you related to?
No. I never really had a relationship with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
About a week ago, I found a box that I put away, which were papers, correspondence, photographs of my parents from Germany. I have a picture of my father in 1918, a picture of my mother in 1923, And for the first time of my life, looking at these pictures, I thought to myself, I wonder what they were like as people. Because I had so shut off, I had no idea.
They had fled the Holocaust just before the beginning of the war.
1939, they got out. I never had a real grandfather, a real grandmother. Mostly, I did not have real aunts and uncles.
Yeah.
They were all foe. They were all people who escaped Germany and came to New York City.
Yeah. And didn't you say that your dad smuggled the family jewelry in a chocolate box when he left Germany?
Yes. Some of my father's mother's jewelry came out covered in chocolate in a candy box. So when the Nazis said, hey, do you have anything of value? They said, no, check my bags. I've got nothing. And it was all in the candy box.
Wow. Well, you know, I want to talk some more about Hank Zipser before we go. When you started the first book, did you struggle with the process of actually sitting down and writing an entire book?
Well, I did, because mostly I talked, and I, Lynn sits at the computer, she types, and then she has an idea, and I stop, and she types, and then she reads it back to me.
Mm-hmm.
A few chapters, I was inspired, and I wrote them out longhand, not being able to spell anything, on yellow pads when I was on an airplane. So I would do it that way. But mostly, I would just talk.
It's interesting. I feel like there's a running theme here between the way that you go about producing, the way you go about writing. Do you find it easier to have a partner to do some of the elements of the job that,
well,
that you don't find as easy?
Yeah, because my partner always knows stuff I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay if you don't know anything because you learn it along the way. You know what you know. You bring what you know to the party, and it all worked out, didn't it?
Yeah.
I've had a great life.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the things in Hollywood that no one ever wants to admit that they're wrong.
Right.
You know, and they either get in deep trouble.
Remember, the Fonz would always say, I'm He could never say he was
Exactly.
You know, but and Hank Zipser is the same way. You know, his Hank Zipser and Here's Hank. Here's Hank is for first, second, third grade.
Mm-hmm.
Reluctant readers, fourth grade.
Yeah.
And then Hank Zipser is third, fourth, and fifth grade, reluctant readers, sixth grade.
Yeah, and what are some of the things that kids with dyslexia might relate to in these books?
Well, then, you know, Hank is a very positive kid. His glass is half full.
Mm-hmm.
He just spills it everywhere. Every child, whether you have dyslexia or not, ADD or not, autism or not, every child has a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot tell you how many kids read Here's Hank or Hank Zipser and say to us, wow, how did you know me so well? You know, you tell the truth, and the kids totally get it.
How about the lists? Was that something that you found useful? I know that Hank is always writing lists.
Yes. No, we came up with that just by chance.
Yeah.
And then we wrote an entire book, Hank Zipser, The Book of Pickles. Whoops, I mean lists. And it is, they're the best lists of all the ones that Hank has written. Plus, we have written six and new ones in each category. So it's a book of lists, and it's very funny.
Okay. So you're not a prodigious list writer yourself, then?
No, but I have to write down.
Yeah.
Even when I was younger, I have to write things down about what I want to do, who I want to call, and everything, or I will forget. I can't keep it all in my head.
I also want to bring up the font. These Here's Hank books, they're written in this unique font called Dyslexy that helps kids with reading disorders.
Right.
What's different about this font?
Well, first of all, it was developed by a dad for his children in Holland. Second of all, it makes everybody happy because it just makes it easier to read the words on the page. You know, you don't have to have dyslexia in order to lose your place, lose track, have words swim on the page, you know, not be able to sound words out.
Mm-hmm.
This font makes your eye and the page friends.
Is there something that's unique about the letters that they stand out better?
They are weighted differently.
Huh.
The space in the C is bigger.
Okay.
The ascending of the F and the T is longer. The descending of the G, the Y, is longer. So it just is thoughtfully. This okay. dad
so
in
they're
Holland.
Easier to distinguish. Then.
Much easier to okay. distinguish. And it really
oh, cool.
makes it pleasant
idea.
For yeah. your eye.
Yeah.
It really does.
Wow.
And this dad is also a graphic artist. So he really thought this out.
Wow. That's terrific.
Yeah. That we're the first ones in America to use it
oh,
in
really?
A novel.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I think so, too.
Now, does it work for adults, too?
It works for everybody.
Really?
I promise you, when you look at that font, you go, wow. That
yeah.
certainly makes it easier.
Well, before we go, I just have to ask, does it drive you at all crazy that here you are, a best-selling author, an award-winning actor, director, producer, and yet despite all your success and through no fault of your own, you are forever associated with the term jumping the shark?
No. No, because first, I've answered this question before, but
yeah.
remember when Jumping the Shark came out,
yeah.
we were still number one for years after it.
Right. You
two.
Didn't jump the shark
no.
in the proverbial sense.
Number two. Every time, at that time, there were newspapers. People actually read the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they mentioned Jump the Shark, they showed a picture of me water skiing. And I had really good legs at that time. So it didn't bother me at all.
Yeah, and didn't that come from your dad telling the producers that you were a good water skier?
No, he wanted me to tell the producers.
Oh, he wanted
he
you
said,
to.
He said, tell the producers you water ski. I said, Dad, I'm probably not going to do that. No, tell them you water ski. Finally, after the 99th time, I said to Gary, my father wants you to know I water ski. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, there it was, Jump the Shark.
Well, I think Jump the Shark would be a pretty good title for the next Hank Zipser book, maybe.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely.
That kind of sounds like one of those titles.
The next, the one that is out now, mm-hmm. Always Watch Out for Flying Potato Salad. He is working at his mom's deli because it's Take Your Kid to Work Day. So he goes to the
right.
deli and screws up royally. And while the kids are going to work with their parents, the teachers are having a conference, and Hank's mom's deli is catering the food. And so, of course, Hank, I can't tell you what happens, but chaos ensues. The next book, he wants so badly to be on the basketball team, but he never catches the ball. It seems like it bounces off his head a lot. And then finally, he becomes the secret weapon on the basketball team.
And I should also point out that these are not just books that are good for kids with a learning disability.
No,
I assume
they're
good for all the kids.
Absolutely.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really did.
Thanks. They're comedies. They don't mamby-pamby around. We don't talk down to the children.
Yeah.
And yeah. kids identify, you know?
One more time, the latest installment in the Hank Zipser series is Here's Hank. Always watch out for flying potato salad. Henry Winkler, thanks so much for sitting down and talking to me.
You know what? It was a pleasure.
Thank
really.
You. Thanks again to Henry Winkler for joining me on the podcast. You can order Here's Hank, Always Watch Out for Flying Potato Salad on Amazon. As a matter of fact, there are 9 books available in the Here's Hank series for children ages 6 through 8, and 17 books in the Hank Zipser World's Greatest Underachiever series for kids 8 to 12. And Hank Zipser enters its 4th season on British television this year. Be sure to subscribe to Kick-Ass News on iTunes and leave us a review while you're there. Don't forget to take our listener survey. It only takes 5 minutes at podsurvey.com/kick. You can visit Kick-Ass News on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Kick-Ass News Pod. And be sure to recommend Kick-Ass News to your friends on your social media. And if you really want to help out, then donate to our GoFundMe campaign at gofundme.com/kickassnews or click on the donate button at kickassnews.com.
As always, I welcome your comments, questions, and suggestions at comments@kickassnews.com. For now, though, I'm Ben Mathis, and thanks for listening to Kick-Ass News. Kick-Ass News is a trademark of Mathis Entertainment, Inc.